H1, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. He cares for us. He's on our side. He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be with Him in all things, in every way. He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to live forever with Him. He doesn't want us to suffer with this world. Understand this now. The Lord has to destroy the world system of Satan. And if you've noticed, all around the world, the enemy is stirring up trouble, starting fires. He's got drug cartels, he's got terrorists, crooked governments, people that want to wage war. And he always, everywhere he gets a stronghold set up, he always kills Christians. This is a warfare. You were born into it. On your most peaceful days, you were in a warfare. Though you can't see your enemy, he gives you thoughts and persuasions that's not of God, that cannot work. The end result is death for you. And the Lord is trying to save you from that. And the greatest thing He's trying to save us from is His wrath. Jesus did something about Satan. If you're a Christian, Satan is not your problem. You have authority over Satan. You can get rid of him when you want to. When it comes to authority, you have more authority than he does. He operates through deception. He has a right to be here, but he has no body. No, he doesn't have a body of his own to do his own will. He has to deceive people to do his will. And the tricky thing is, he'll deceive anybody that will follow him, even Christians. If we live by our faith, the opposite of that is we die by our doubt. We live by our faith, we die by our doubt. We live by our faith. But when we're not operating according to the Word of God in faith, that's where we lose our battles. Our salvation is covenant. As long as we are in the kingdom of God, as long as we don't defy the kingdom of God, as long as we don't walk out of the kingdom of God, we're in the kingdom of God. But if he can tempt you to do things that's opposite of God, you can end up back in his world and die and have his fate and go to hell. It's time now to know how serious this thing is. It always was serious. The warfare always was hot. Wherever the enemy gets a stronghold, that's where people suffer the most. That's why those that love God, they are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, they use it to kill weeds like Roundup. It's thrown on the path so weeds won't grow, so people have a way to walk. So be a man of God and a woman of God that's full of flavor, full of life, the love of God. We were made righteous. We were made the light of the world. If you don't do nothing but let your light shine, you're still effective. Darkness is cursed. I was watching TV and a man said, darkness is already cursed. The world needs more light. That's what Satan is afraid of. He's afraid of people who will have the courage to walk out the word of God in their life, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And because we have authority, we can stop Satan's works. Primarily, we do it by living the light. Taking authority won't work by itself. You have to be subject to God. James explains that. We have to be subject. We have to be first subject to God and submit our lives to him, obeying his word. Then when the enemy comes, we just we resist him and he flees from us. Simple. I always say in Sunday school, the big fight is not rebuking Satan. That's the easy fight. That's the cakewalk. The real fight is when, the one you win within. When you dedicate yourself to obey God only, and you turn your back on all worldly influences. In the Garden of Eden, when you eat out the tree of life and reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, you still the trees are still there in metaphoric form. You got to eat off the tree of life. You got to receive and do the word of God. And you got to reject the influences of darkness. That's everybody's responsibility. And see, when we're born in this world, the Lord gave us a chance to do exactly what he does. In our own strength, in our own way. Your life is your business. It's like, and the Father is the CEO. He's going to help you do your business. But you got to invite him. See, we're strong when we get to know him. Daniel said that those that do know the Lord in chapter 11 will do exploits. Not the ones who are rich, not the ones who are famous, but those that do know their God. They're the ones that will do living works that God can use to bless his people. We've been talking about the tares of the field. We're still dealing with end times, but and the chapter is still on the parable of the tares of the field, the tares and the wheat. And we talked in the last few broadcasts about how God was going to gather out the tares from the wheat to be burned. And he's going to do the harvest. He's going to come back and gather his people off the earth. See, the harvest is when he take his people off the earth and then he's going to judge the earth. When you're saved from his wrath. You don't have to go through all that. There's a 7-year tribulation period left. Daniel left 70 weeks. That's unaccounted for. Reserved for God's time of judgment. He's going to judge the earth. See, this seven weeks had to come after the period of grace because people rejected the blood of Jesus. And humanity has to be judged for rejecting the blood of Jesus. Mankind has to be judged for it. Because the blood of Jesus is holy. And Jesus is going to come back and recover the earth just like Daniel prophesied. This is nothing new. This was prophesied many years before Christ came on the scene. Daniel prophesied the rise and fall of every nation, and it's happening. We're at the end of it. We're at the point where God is gathering the tares to be burned. We already talked about how God loves tares just like he loves Christians, sheep and goat. He loves everybody. He died for everybody. But they rejected it. Now he's going to judge the tares in the tribulation period. But anybody that would hinder his people, he would judge them now. You don't have to be afraid of terrorists. You don't have to be afraid of evil men. If they get in your way, God will judge them now. Isaiah said, you will speak their demise in chapter 60. You will condemn their works if they rise against you. Don't be afraid of any man. I'm not afraid of anybody. The Lord doesn't like fear. And in his presence, I noticed that he hates fear. So I learned not to fear. And I base my ministry on doing his work. What I learn from him as I go in his presence, that's what I preach. I don't want to teach wrong. I always I said, Lord, how can I teach the right thing and not teach the wrong thing? I don't want to help Satan in any way, form, or fashion. I said, and I've learned some things. Some of it's wrong, some of it's right. And I don't want to continue what he did. I don't want to continue any form of deception. I said, now how can I do it? But he taught me to follow him. So what I do, he called me to the ministry. He gives me the messages. He puts on my heart what to minister. So I stick with what he gives. And when I finish, I shut up. I don't add to it. I don't take away from it. And then I go back and learn from it. I go back and look at it. I examine. I ask him. I go in his presence and ask him questions. See, that's where the church is strong. It's not by might, not by power. It's not by the might of man. You don't need a bunch of people to help you do God's perfect will. And it's not by might, not by power. You don't need all this money. You don't need the hand to work of man. You need his spirit. And if you do it his way, he will build the ministry like it's supposed to be built. And it won't look like anybody else's ministry. He'll help you do what you're supposed to do. He'll help you reach who you can reach. Pastor Jackson used to say there are people assigned to your life. See, when there are people that's going to find out about this ministry, the website, they're going to go on, they're going to be blessed. All those people the Lord assigned to me. And my job is to help them get to where they're going to do a greater work than what I'm doing. Because they're going to take the work, they're going to take the word. And see, the word of God advances us. We take the words of, right now, I take the words of Paul and Peter and John and all the apostles. I can read about everything they did in one day if I want to. And I can minister what took them a lifetime to do. Now, the things that I learned in the presence of the Lord, I teach it. And my children, they grew up hearing what I've been teaching. And they understand it at a younger age. All right, you know, one scripture said the prophets, they die. Eventually, we die out. So whoever the Lord blesses through this ministry, they're going to go on and do greater works. That's what I want. That's how it's supposed to be. So the strength of a ministry is when you go in God's presence and hear him out, that's where you're strong. In the presence of the Lord, I learned many things. I learned not to fear. I learned what's important. And when people follow him, it works. You don't have to fool around with doing human campaigns. False prophets teach wrong. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's your definition of a false prophet? He said, a person that teaches untruth. Yeah, simple. So I don't want to be that guy. I want to do it God's way. So what he put on my heart, what he confirmed, that's what I teach. And I study his word. You can't study just a few scriptures. Study chapters and books of the word of God, because the Holy Spirit will help you understand a greater context. In 1990, October 1990, the Lord said, I want you to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, 5 at night. As I obeyed him, I would not go to sleep until I read all those 15 chapters. And what happened was I got a greater vision of the Word of God. See, this is not something you can be lazy with. And it takes time to get a word base going. But it's worth it. When you do it God's way, Then the Holy Spirit can relate to you. The Holy Spirit relates to truth, not error. He never prompts people to teach error. Never. He never has, never will. Men do that on their own. That's how tares get a foothold. When the church is asleep, not doing its job, that's how tares creep in. But if you set the standard high, people will get a good understanding and they won't become tares. See, the enemy is scared of the word of God. When it's teached right, when it's teached like it should be by the Holy Spirit, it's people have a greater chance of sticking with the Word of God. A lot of people don't know what they can do in Christ. They don't know how strong their life can become. And Satan uses lack of knowledge just like a military man uses weapons. Satan uses your lack of knowledge against you. Your lack of knowledge is his weapon. Your lack of knowledge is Satan's weapon. Because he can guide you wrong. He can lead you astray. And he can have you defending a life that can't work. All the major sins, fornication, adultery, witchcraft, homosexuality, these are weapons as well. Murder, weapons. Things like drugs, they get you off track and off base. They take from you the strength to live and change your will into Satan's will. Witchcraft. Drugs is nothing but witchcraft. And people who sell drugs, they just want slaves. They don't want to do work with their own hands. They want to live off somebody else. The pride of life. See, pride looks within. Faith looks to God. And when you're looking to God, you're looking right. Jude explains what God's going to do against the tares of this world. He helps us to see what it is so that we can walk away from it. Said Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. These are the ways of the wicked. These are the concerns and ways of tares. People that are opposite of God by their own will. And the Lord has to do something about them. He said, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsay of Kore. They perished in the gainsaying of Kore. He turned the people against God's will. All right, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, and twice dead, plucked up by the roots. raging waves of the seas foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, promised of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of the and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. This is the way of tares, unlike God. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken of before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Now watch this. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Sin and everything that goes along with it, hate it. You got to hate sin and everything that go with it, and turn around and love God in all of his ways. Allow him to show you things. That's where we're strong. Verse 24, now to him that is able to keep you from falling, don't fear falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We can do all things through Christ. The Lord is going to help us go forward. Jesus said, no man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bush, but on a candlestick, that they which come may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body is full of darkness. Now, that's how faith is. Faith looks to God only. Faith looks to God. Pride looks within. Fear looks to man. But faith looks to God. When you're looking at, when you go in the Lord's presence and you're learning who he is, you're looking to him. And then you, the knowledge you gain from that, you live it out in life. As long as you're looking to the Lord, your motives are going to be single. They're going to be toward the will of God. They're going to be strong and not weak. Faith looks to God. This is where we're strong. Worship. When you go and when you worship the Lord and praise the Lord, go in his presence. Don't just praise and worship him, but listen. Write down the things that he speaks to you when you're in his presence. Write it in your heart. Write it on paper. Live by it. Embrace it. When the Lord speaks to you, log it. Write it down in your heart. Don't forget it. Remember what was going on that helped you learn these things. Because that's where we're strong. You can't just listen to it. You have to receive it. Faith becomes part of who we are. The just shall live by his faith. It's just like my legs, my arm, my eyes, my faith. I receive God's word in my heart. It becomes a part of who I am. I receive God's word in my heart. That's where my faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. When you've heard the word of God, you receive virtue. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's your interpretation of virtue? He said, it's the amount of my word in your heart. When you receive his word in your heart, not a misinterpretation, but the correctly interpreted word of God in your heart, That's your faith. Speak it. When you speak it, it does something. There's nothing in this world that can overcome your faith. Your faith always changes the facts on the ground. When you go and worship and what you learn from the Lord there, he will supply you with what you need and what you need to do in ministry and in life, and it will work. Not only will he deal with you on ministry things, but he'll show you things, how you can do a better job on your job, things you're interested in, things you need to know, how to help your children. Any form of wisdom you need, he has it. And you can learn it in his presence. You can learn it in his presence. That's what I do. I said, Lord, now I want to know, how do I live like this? I was in his presence. And in his presence, I feel like I can do anything. I feel like I just can't fail. I feel strong and edified. I said, Lord, this is how I want to feel wherever I go, all day. And at that time, years ago in the 80s, my pastor said, no, you can't do that. This was another pastor. He said, you got to come back down to the valley. And that just didn't sit well with my heart. I said, no, I didn't believe him. I said, Lord, show me how to do this. And I kept going in his presence, and then he had me to read all those chapters every day. And I kept going in his presence. And I read them. I still read the chapters. Now I listen to more. I listen to the word on my smartphone all day. I got the Bible app, and I listen to whatever the Lord prescribed all day long. I might listen to the whole book of Jeremiah 2 or 3 times a day. And I worship the Lord. And he speaks to me. That's how it's done. And I just do what he say do. And it worked. And I don't want people to miss out on that. That's where we're strong. The Lord, he's told me about plots that the enemy had against me before it happened. And I was able to stop it by my faith. See, you're not a sitting duck. You're a man of God. Be a man of God. You don't need money. You don't need people. You need your faith. And faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and receiving the word of God. That's where it comes from. No magic. Just the word of God. Same word of God. Sit on people's coffee table and collect dust. But you got to have that word in you. That's where your faith is. That's where we're strong. The Lord is mighty. Let him be mighty in you. How? Obedience. Don't be like the Tares. They're disobedient. God loved them, but they chose to be that way. The Lord told me, he said, people sort themselves. They sort themselves. But because they sorted themselves, the angels are going to come gather them up in bundles to be burned. In other words, he's going to give them over to their own determination. They wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't listen to the prophets and preachers that he sent to them. They always rebel. So now they're going to have a mind to rebel, just like the first generation. He's going to give them to their own determination.